Live from the Ghost Hunter Store, brought to you by the Shadowlands, South Jersey Ghost Research, and the Ghost Hunter Store. Here's some paranormal straight talk with your hosts, Dave Giuliano and Marty Haynes.
On a dark and stormy night in 1735 in the Pine Barrens of New Jersey, Mrs. Leeds, Mother Leeds, laid in labor. She was pregnant with her 13th child. She didn't want any more children, so she cursed the child and said, "If this child be born, let it be a devil." It was a horrific and painful delivery, and the baby was born normal. But afterwards, seconds afterwards, it began to change, to the horror of all the women in the room, including Mother Leeds. It began to transform. Its human features disappeared. Its body elongated. It became serpentine with a tail, and bat wings protruded out its back. Its skin coarsened, and its face turned into what appeared to be that of a horse's head. Finally, it arose from the bed, larger and more powerful than a full-grown man. The women stood transfixed in shock and terror. The silence was broken by the monster's rasping snarls as he curled his forked, thick tail and proceeded to beat everyone in the room, including Mother Leeds. With an ear-piercing bellow and flapping his huge wings, he shot rapidly up the chimney and out into the night. Welcome to Paranormal Straight Talk with Dave Giuliano and Marty Haynes. Sorry we're a little late. Apparently someone changed the password and we didn't get that email.
Get the memo.
No one sent us the memo. So either we're not supposed to be on the air right now, and this is pirate radio, or they just left us off accidentally. I was reading from a book that I remember from back in fourth grade. This is actually my second copy, my personal copy, because I wore my first copy out so much. It's called The Jersey Devil by James F. McCloy and Ray Miller Jr. And they have another one, too. I think it's Phantom of the Pines, a sequel. And then there's another book out more recently about some monsters of New Jersey
Monster
by Lauren Coleman.
Yeah.
We also have Paranormal State, and who else did a show on it? Oh, Monster Quest did a show on it.
Destination Truth also.
Destination Truth did the Hunt for the Jersey Devil too.
Yep. I think.
This is another one by an updated version of the cover. James McCloy and Ray Miller Jr. Great book. It's still in print. It's actually back in print again. The Middle Atlantic Press. I suggest you get it. We carry here at the Ghost Hunter Store. We carry both versions of it. If it's hard to find for you, we can always ship it out to you. Very, very detailed story of the Jersey Devil. That little story, I know we have a member of our group, our co-director, Joe DeLucio, still is afraid of going into the woods at night, and you can't even mention the two words Jersey and Devil together without her getting, and she's from California. She went to college here and everything, but she definitely is traumatized by the story she heard.
Yeah.
And I remember being, I hung out in the woods. I played in the woods when I was little. I lived in Camden County, so we're on the edge of the Pine Barrens, or New Jersey's not a densely wooded state, but it's got little sporadic woods around. I've camped in the Pine Barrens in Wharton State Forest.
Yeah,
I've heard things in the Wharton State Forest that I did not sleep the whole night.
I lived up in Browns Mills for a while with my husband before we moved into Burlington. And there are things that I've heard, and, you know, looking at his brothers, because they lived there all their lives, I went, "What was that?" And they're like,
I remember Monster Quest had recent sightings. Now, there's even a group, I don't know if they're still active, but a group in New Jersey, New Jersey Devil Hunters, that they kept a database that went up into at least around 2006, 2007 of reports that came in that were unexplainable, that seemed to be the MO of the Jersey Devil.
Yeah.
Unexplained footprints, but the one on Monster Quest was incredible. They had hoofprints up in the snow on the roof, and they had photos of it, and they had two retired New York City.
How
is it? So do a search on YouTube for Jersey Devil for Monster Quest, which happens to be in the clearance bin now. It's season one or two. So that's how I got it. So it's like I got it 50% off. But I think the whole reason I bought it was for that one episode.
There were very long, lonely stretches of Route 206 where you can't even get a cell phone signal. So people think that this is a really densely populated state and that things are all very industrial and built up. It's not. There are very, very large areas where you can't see anything.
We got Sharon Carroll with us here from South Jersey Ghost Research, who actually she's lived all over the place, but she lives in Lumberton, which is this Lumberton. Marty lives in Burlington. Burlington City is actually, there's actually three origins, locations of the birth of the Jersey Devil. Burlington City happens to be one of them. I've never been able to get anyone to tell us where the house is that they believe is the house.
Yeah,
that
nobody will tell you. They don't want people
to I do know, there. I know the approximate location of the foundation that's left in Leeds Point. I've been out to Leeds Point. Leeds Point, if you ever go down to Smithville, New Jersey, in Atlantic County, it's a little like historic shopping little town now. The Smithville Inn's there, historic haunted place. Leeds Point's the next town over. So you actually pass the Leeds Point post office and the Leeds Point Cemetery going in. Mm-hmm. And you go in there and there is all Leeds. There's a Jimmy Leeds Road.
Yes.
So, I mean, oh, yeah, the Leeds family is not a myth. I mean, they existed in that area. The house is in the woods now.
Yes.
The foundation's all that's left. But I remember talking to the director of the Jersey Devil Hunters, and they were using the tri-field meters, and they were getting, this is in the middle of the woods, so we're not near telephone lines, we're not near any kind of power source whatsoever. She asked me to confirm that they were using the tri-field meters correctly, mm-hmm. because they were getting weird hits of some energy coming off the foundation of that building that's left. And it's all that stone, the river stone,
yeah.
and the slate and stuff, so that would hold that kind of energy in. So mm-hmm. it was interesting. I always told her, yeah, you take me out there, I'll take you on a ghost hunt. We'll do a swap. Jersey Devil hunt, ghost hunt. Yeah. That's on my list with Bigfoot hunting. You know,
you have to go out blindfolded with a bag over your head, and see, I'm not, they would lead you out there.
I'm not really scared of the Jersey Devil.
There's enough people that know where that building is nowadays. Well, I imagine they don't want the curiosity seekers and no, they deter tramping. You from going out there. They do deter right. you. But.
Matter of fact, if you go on, one of the things I wrote years and years and years ago, when I say years and years and years and years ago, I'm talking like 25 years ago, really, literally. There's an article on the Shadowlands website. If you go under the cryptozoology or the mysteries or any of the pages like that or mysterious creatures pages, there's many ways to get to it. Or if you just search, do the search on the Shadowlands website, there is an article I wrote about the Jersey Devil. And actually, when the early picture of the Shroud's house, when the frame of the building was still standing, is there. And you can see it's pretty much covered in trees and at that point.
Yeah.
The only thing left now is the stone. What's interesting about this, we're talking, I guess we're 300 years or more, easily, of history. Mm-hmm. We're not talking about, people think this is like, they chalk it up with, everybody has like their local haunted house or their local little tiny legend that, you know, only the locals know. Now, Jersey Devil, I think because of the TV shows covering it, has become more of a national phenomenon. More people know of it. But like, I'm sure there's no, you won't go out to like, say, Wisconsin and find someone with that Jersey Devil book on their bookshelf. It's not like that big of a phenomenon, but they probably have their little local monster too. This has got a little bit more to it because of the witnesses and the caliber of the witnesses and the amount of witnesses. Just the documented witnesses from the one appearance alone in the early 1900s was the Postmaster General or the Postmaster of Bristol, Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. There was the whole Woodbury Heights Fire Department who fired their hose at it. There was priests. There was police officers that fired at. They actually shut the factories down. They had armed guards on the trolley system going through South Jersey. Mm-hmm. That is not for some mythological thing. That they were seeing something, and large amounts of people were seeing something. There was actually one point at the Armory in Trenton where after a snow, there was footprint hoofprints that led towards the... They appeared out of nowhere. They started in the middle of the field and then disappeared.
As if something had come in for a landing, taken a few steps, and then took off again.
Now they had people come out, tried to identify the footprints. They appeared to be hoof prints. No one could identify any species that would be capable of doing any of that.
Well, not only that, you have strangers coming to this area, then wander into stores reporting seeing this incredible creature. So, you know, in the days before the internet, in the days before these TV shows were popular, how would anyone outside of this area had even known that something like this had been sighted before?
Now, that's very true. Some of the other places, the other one I left out was Estelleville, New Jersey. Mm-hmm. That's the third place. They believe that she was born with she cursed the child too. It was born, you know, some sort of misshapen, deformed child that they kept hidden in the basement, and that's how the myth started. It doesn't explain the flying creature that they saw. Also, that the reason why the child was cursed was because her daughter fell in love with soldier from the British Army during the Revolutionary War, so the people of Leeds Point cursed her. Thus, she was born with the devil as a son.
There's also the legend that she refused to give food or water or shelter to a gypsy, and the gypsy had cursed her.
So there are probably multiple variations of the story, and that's where myth, legend, and truth kind of all kind of break off. But I think it's interesting that still to this day, people report sightings. I know when I did this report and I wrote this article up, I actually interviewed two people that had sightings. And to me, these people were people that had more to lose than, you know, one person was a police officer and it said it landed and dented the roof of his car. He was actually parked out into the woods, you know, like a lover's lane kind of situation. And they drove away with the thing on the roof and it flew off and they actually saw it fly off. Mm-hmm. That's something that obviously he didn't report it, and I don't know how he filed that insurance claim for the damage to his head.
Yeah,
pulling
limb maybe from a tree.
But I can see that there's... Hold on a second, everybody. I have to plug the computer back in. There we go. That way the show doesn't actually go off the air while we're talking here. Also, there was a period of time where the Jersey Devil actually stopped being seen. It comes and goes. It goes in spurts.
Yeah, it's definitely a wave that happens.
Now, that's one of the theories that I had, and I present some theories on that website too. But like it says, in 1740, a clergy member exorcised the devil for 100 years, and it wasn't seen until 1890. Now, obviously, he's not really good with math, but maybe there was just sightings that weren't reported. Yeah, there's not everyone reports the sighting. Some people, you know, respect the Jersey Devil. He's never been all the sightings that are by very verifiable sources and upstanding citizens and stuff. He's never been reported as attacking per se and doing anybody any harm.
Right.
Okay, he's flown at them and scared the crap out of them, but that's about the extent of it.
Probably trying to escape.
Right. Now, there was, what happens, there was these, you know, the story of Mother Leeds and then the sporadic sightings. Then in 1909, there was a huge run of sightings. But first, let me mention a couple interesting, well-known, famous figures who reported to see the Jersey Devil. Commodore Stephen Decatur, a naval hero, was testing cannonballs on the firing range when he saw a strange creature fly across the sky. He fired and hit the creature, but it kept flying right across the field. Joseph Bonaparte, yes, you recognize the last name.
Oh, wow.
Brother Napoleon, he was the former King of Spain, saw the Jersey Devil in Bordentown between 1816 and 1839 while he was hunting. During 1840 and 1841, many chicken and sheep were killed by a creature with a piercing scream and strange hoofprint tracks. 1859 to 1894, was seen numerous times reporting carrying off animals or anything that was moving in fields in Haddonfield, Bridgeton, Smithville, Long Branch, Brigantines, Leeds Point. The W.F. Mayer of New York noticed that while visiting the Pine Barrens, locals would not venture out after dark. They were terrified of something coming after them. This is all pre-1900s. Then there was the week of January 16th, 1909, which is like the shark week of, where the shark attacked up the Mattawan week.
Shore.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. He was sighted over South Jersey and Philadelphia by over 1,000 people during this one week. Thousands of tracks. It was his largest appearance ever. And this is where you really get the very interesting amount of, or type of person that saw it. Let's see. Patrolman James Sackville fired at the creature as he went screaming away. E.W. Minister, postmaster of Bristol, saw a bird-like creature with a horse's head that had a piercing scream. When daylight came after that, the postmaster had saw that creature at night, there were hoof prints in the snow. Local trappers were called in, and they had never seen the tracks like this before. Now, if you go on that website, the Shadowlands Jersey Devil website, and if you get the book, too, or probably just do a search for Jersey Devil, you're going to see a sketch. It kind of looks a little funky, but it's like an upright, like, dog body with long legs and hoof feet with bat wings and a giant horse's head. This was actually a sketch made by people, a couple that were looking at it on the roof of their house outside their window. Okay? They think hand drew the sketch. Okay, so
they put on a camera to listen. Yeah,
there was, well, back, we're talking like early 1900s, but probably not everyone had the cameras, and they couldn't take the chance of standing still long enough to put the thing, everything in. The sketch is very, very good. It was in Gloucester, 2:30 a.m. on the 19th of January, 1909. Mr. and Mrs. Nelson Evans of Gloucester awakened by a strange noise. They watched the devil from their window for 10 minutes, and this is how they described it, and this is the sketch you'll see. It was about 3.5 foot high, with a head like a collie dog and a face like a horse. It had a long neck and wings about 2 feet long. Its back legs were like those of a crane and had horse's hooves. It walked on its back legs and held up two short front legs with paws on them. It didn't use the front legs at all while we were watching. My wife and I were scared, I tell you, but I managed to open the window and say, shoo. It turned around and barked at me. It flew away. That Tuesday, two professional hunters tracked the Jersey Devil for 20 miles. The hoof tracks for 20 miles in Gloucester. The trail jumped 5-foot fences, but also went under 8-inch spaces. The hoof prints were found in more parts of South Jersey. A group of observers in Camden saw the devil, it barked at them and took off in the air. The next day, a Burlington police officer, now where we're situated in Mount Holly. Burlington, to get into Burlington, we're talking 3 minutes. If you actually stopped at the lights and did the speed limit, we're talking 5. You know,
seven if you do it again.
Lumberton's probably 3 minutes.
Lumberton, yeah. You can roll over, I bet.
I mean, these are places. Lumberton. This is places we can walk to from here.
Oh yeah,
but
yeah.
It extended all through the whole county. In Camden, Camden probably 25 minutes from here. So we're talking a very localized area, but it even was seen over. Camden's right on the waterfront.
Yeah.
You can see Philadelphia from there. It's a very short. It's not a long distance over the river, mm-hmm. a very short ride.
So if you're talking about a creature that's actually flying, then these are probably within seconds or minutes of each other.
Right. They could have been seen in Philadelphia and then come back 2 minutes later and be seen in Burlington. Burlington's on the water, too.
Exactly.
And Camden, back and forth. Reverend John Purcell of Pemberton saw it, and he said, never saw anything like it before. Posses in Haddonfield found tracks that ended abruptly in the middle of fields, like it had taken flight. In Collingswood, a posse watched the devil fly off towards Morristown. Minutes later, near Morristown, John Smith of Mapleshade saw the devil at Mount Carmel Cemetery. George Snyder saw the devil right after Mr. Smith, and they reported it separately, but their descriptions matched. This is back when they were calling the police. The police were responding to this. in Riverside, New Jersey, where I've had the pleasure, when I was married the first time, my first marriage, to live there, which is actually, again, right on the river.
Yes.
Hoof prints were found on rooftops and also around a dead puppy. Well, that's the only thing I ever found that concrete where, but again, it wasn't, we don't know if it killed the dog.
Right.
Now, there's another lady who said that it had the Jersey Devil had the puppy in its hands in Camden, and she tried to shoo it away, and it took off with the dog.
Well, there was a couple stories where people, in my marriage and stuff, were seeing it pick up small animals.
Right, so I mean, we're still.
So I mean, it's
we're talking
away from food.
Right, we're talking livestock.
It's not attacking people.
Right, never has gone after people.
And if you look at the behavior of hawks and eagles and large birds, they basically fly around fields and they look for small animals.
Right, yeah.
That's what they do.
Now here, this is the lady, Mrs. Srubinski of Camden. This is later that same night. I'm sorry, I skipped where the trolleys in Trenton and New Brunswick had armed guards to ward off the attacks. People in Pittman filled churches. Chickens were missing all over the Delaware Valley, but when the farmers checked the yards that day, they found their chickens were dead, with no marks on them, almost as if they had died of fright. Mm-hmm. Which that has happened on some sort of predator gets in there. Sometimes they find other chickens dead that have no marks on them. The West Collingswood Fire Department fired their hose at the devil. The devil retreated at first, but then charged and flew away at the last second. See, now these are all people who have a reverend, postmaster, police officers, firemen. These are people who have something to lose, credibility-wise.
Exactly.
By coming out and publicly saying these things. This mass hysteria across across two states and across the breadth of this.
No,
we're talking. Yeah, it was literally 1 week, and we're not talking radio. We're not talking. We're talking newspaper. And that probably the stories were at least 24 hours to 2 days behind. Mm-hmm. So there wasn't that time, but even the word of mouth, there wasn't the time for this to get out. These are independent situations that all occurred.
A couple of them are within hours of each other. So how did they, how was that hysteria?
Exactly.
Right. How did they get together and concoct the story ahead of time?
All of a sudden, SOS across the
air. In Camden again, that's where the ladies opened the door and she saw the Jersey Devil staying there with a dog in its grip. She hit the devil with the broom until it let go of her dog and flew away. And a crowd of police officers arrived at her house where over 100 people had gathered. And they heard the screams coming from Cane Hill, which is still now it's a housing development,
but it's still there.
The mob ran toward the creature on the hill. Police shot at it. The devil flew off into the night. The streets of Camden were empty after that. No one went outside. The next day, Friday, Camden police officer Lewis Stray saw the Jersey Devil drinking from a horse's trough. So we're getting the kind of time of era this was. Horses' troughs were still out by. The school at Mount Ephraim, New Jersey, was closed because no students came in. Mills and factories in Gloucester and Haynesport, which again, Haynesport's a town right here, were closed because no workers had come in. No employees came to work. People were willing to not get paid or get fired and stay home. That's real fear of something solid and legitimate that people were seeing.
That is abject terror. When you decide, it's too dangerous to go out, we just won't eat today or tomorrow. We're just going to stay in the house and live and survive through this.
Blackwood, where I worked as a police officer, Officer Merchant of Blackwood drew a sketch of the creature. His sketcher coincided with descriptions from early in the week. It was almost identical to the picture of the people drew that was on the roof, which he would have never have seen yet.
Right.
So they were all describing the same sightings. And then it stopped. And after February, there was no more sightings. No more sightings until 1927 was the next reported sighting. Mm-hmm. Now, remember, reported sightings and sightings are going to be two different things. People are going to see things, so that's what a lot of people who like the skeptics say. Okay, well, it suddenly appears and disappears. Well, there's actually a theory behind that too.
There are people that aren't going to say anything because they don't want their neighbors thinking they're crazy or
as long as that
it getting it out in the paper that because how many people don't say that they've seen UFOs?
Sure, right.
Their neighbors will never speak to them again.
Well, I have a question for you, Dave. Suppose, as an adult, these creatures are capable of hunting and surviving and hiding. But juveniles are maybe a little bit less adept at knowing what presents danger, not knowing that, hey, that guy with the big shiny metal thing is going to shoot at me. Maybe not knowing that, you know what, picking up a dog off of a lady's porch is probably not a good idea. Maybe these are the growing pains of a juvenile creature that's still trying to learn how to hunt and learn how to live on its own. And then as it matures, it gains those skills and basically goes underground again for another few years. We don't know what their life cycle is, what their reproductive cycle might be.
So that's one of the theories is that it is an actual creature. Mm-hmm. Could a creature of this, a small population of some sort of creature like this, actually live in the area and remain hidden? The Pine Barrens is immense. Yes, something could do like that, and it would have small prey to live off of very easily, hide in that area. Mm-hmm. We're not talking like a 9 foot tall Bigfoot type creature. We're talking something that's
and even they
4 foot. Right,
so,
right.
You know, if it's not that big, then it's that.
I've camped. I've raccoons. Let's say raccoons are very, very common.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I've seen raccoons come out of trash cans, mm-hmm. come out of dumpsters mm-hmm. in the city. I've camped numerous times, many times in the Pine Barrens. One time in my entire life did I ever see a raccoon. In the wild, in the Pine Barrens.
Where you actually expect to
see exactly. It was a mother and her and the little, they came up and we knew not to feed them because then they would never go away.
Right.
But I mean, all that time being out there, I never saw a deer. One time. And we were driving into the Pine Barrens, so we weren't actually camping. So if that counts. So while camping, and we camped in areas where there was, I'm not talking campsites. In Wharton State Forest, you get a camping permit. There's like a general area where the mm-hmm. rangers will come to look at you to make sure you're following the fire code and to make sure you're not doing anything illegal.
Right.
But they just kind of like spot check your permit. But you're not around any other campers. There's no one else around. There's an old rusty hand pump out there that you can use to wash your dishes with. And there's no electricity. There's an outhouse if you choose to use it. You're better off probably looking for a tree or a bush than going in the outhouse. I wouldn't trust that. Mm-hmm. But that's all there is. So we're not talking like it's that they're shy away from people. You know, you should have seen some sort of animal, you would think, the normal animals that we know live in the woods. Yet all those times, no one sees them. I mean, hunters will tell you how hard it is to track deer. You know, they go above and beyond by, like, you know, making sure they don't have any scent on them. Deer urine and all the other kind of scents and stuff.
They set up all their seats and everything.
Yeah, the blinds.
Weeks ahead of time so the deer can get used to them coming through and everything.
Well, that's a really good point, because if you are a creature out living in the woods and something comes into your home, you're going to recognize that that does not belong there and probably stay away from it.
I'm just looking at the server again. If you guys are listening to this, if you're live on the chat room and you're hearing it sporadically come in and out, it's because the server again seems to be, it stays connected, but it's slowing down, starting up. The same thing we encountered last week. So you're probably going to be, your best bet is to listen to this through the podcast again. And we'll try to get to the bottom of what this is, because we have the right password now.
Yeah.
So we're connecting to the right server.
Well,
we did get a new modem?
Yeah,
all right. All right, because we were having some internet issues here, so it might be on our end. Hopefully, we'll get that all worked out. In this article, it goes on to go all the way up to 1987, where there was people who observed or had sightings. If you go on the Jersey Devil Hunters page, New Jersey Devil Hunters, or just look up New Jersey and Devil Hunters together. You'll find their website. I didn't have time to look up their exact website, but it's a really good informative site about the Jersey Devil, and it has a database of recent sightings. It's where I point everybody to for who are looking for 1990s and 2000s. And like I said, last time I checked, I know it was up in around 2006, 2007. She might actually be keeping it up even further now, because ever since Monster Quest came along, which was only 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah.
So they might actually have updated it since then. Now we get to the theories. One interesting theory, I thought, and it made sense, except for the fact that this would take about 2,000 people during this period of time, during the 300 years, to have misidentified things. And it would also have to make this particular animal impervious to at least one cannonball A fireman's hose and bullets. Right, how many bullets? Well, that's not saying, look, when you're scared and terrified, your aim is not on. So, I mean,
No, but I'm pretty sure a military man knows if he hit his target or not.
Yeah, so when they say, if some of these officers say they know they hit it, especially at close proximity,
right.
We know the Woodbury fire department hit it with its hose because it charged them afterwards.
Right.
Now, the theory is a sandhill crane, which actually was a species that was indigenous to New Jersey 300 years ago. At some point during that time, and they don't know exactly when for sure, you know, most people will say it was sometime in the late 1700s, early 1800s, where it went extinct here. It's found more southern than it is anywhere near New Jersey.
Well, that's the same thing that they say is the Wolfman, too.
The crane. Yeah, I remember seeing that on one of the Monster Quests.
Yeah.
Its wingspan matches. If you see the silhouette of this normal crane, if you're ever down the shore in the Pine Barrens or anywhere where you're going to see a large crane, down the Outer Banks or anything like that. If you can see the silhouette at night, when its legs are together, it looks like a fork tail hanging down. You can see the legs, you can see the body, you can see the horse's head, you can see the big bat wings. I can see the silhouette. Let's go back to the...
And they're pretty scary when they come at you at night. I've
yes.
had one come at me at night, and it's very scary.
The sound? Okay.
And the shrieking is probably
the witness. Right. It's a very loud noise.
Yes, a very loud and unusual noise. It sounds like a very, very good theory. Except for the fact that the sightings continue on to this day,
right.
Its footprints would not be hoofprints.
No.
They would be more akin to a bird or a duck. You know, it would be obvious.
Well, they're three-toed.
Right, but it'd be obvious it was some sort of waterfowl,
right.
Or something like that. And definitely trackers at the time, and the naturalists. And the police detectives from the 2000s from Monster Quest would have been easily able to take the tracks and the photos and say, here, identify these. And they would have identified them as, you know, not as something with hoof.
Right.
They would have been, you know, a hoof is definitely something completely different than...
Yeah, it wasn't unidentified. It was a hoof print. It wasn't an unidentified species that they didn't know.
Right.
Right. And they did actually have hoaxes where somebody used a barefoot on a stick.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
And people came in immediately said, I think it was one of the game wardens from Oregon State Park, had said, that's a bear paw on a stick.
During the 1950s.
Right.
Right.
It was in Gibbs Town. Mm-hmm. It was actually a big hoax. And they posted signs all around saying that the Jersey Devil was a hoax because of that was the bear paw.
Right.
There was people wearing costumes,
right.
And they someone stuffed something up and was like swinging it across the trees as people would come by.
Well, for as many people as there are witnesses who want people to believe them that they genuinely had a sighting, there are just as many people who want to be able to disprove the sightings. So when you have tremendous amounts of evidence going across not just decades but now centuries, and nobody's able to completely disprove every single incident or sighting, then you gotta wonder what's out there.
Now, let's go back to, now with the sandhill crane being a plausible explanation, let's look at why it doesn't make sense. First of all, any of the animal killings or mutilations or anything like that, the sandhill crane actually, according to this, is potatoes and corn. Art's favorite food. It's vegetarian.
Yeah.
It's not going to
so
be killing.
So puppy is not on the menu.
Exactly, the puppy's not on the menu. Exactly.
Not a puppy.
The killing of the livestock out.
Right.
Bulletproof, cannonball proof, able to survive being blasted with a hose from a fire department and then fly up and come at it. Probably not likely. To picking up the dog and stuff like that. And remember, thousands of people during just that 1 week alone, and we're talking thousands of witnesses. 50% of these witnesses were during the day. These weren't all at night.
And cranes don't have hands.
Right, exactly. So there goes the hand. There's a lot of things they also don't. Bat wings and horse's head and everything else. So, I mean, the silhouette at night flying across the sky and the scream, maybe. But for people who saw it up close, there's no doubt they were seeing a white bird. Yeah, I mean, it's a big bird. You know, it's not the Jersey Devil.
Well, the crane came out of the creek over here. Yeah, it scared me, and the noise was, you know, really ominous at first. But as soon as it flew over, you knew what it was. It wasn't you could tell exactly what it was.
Is that the one that let loose on Jill?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So that was a Jersey Devil attack.
So that's why Jill is still terrified of the Jersey Devil.
Yes.
Of
she probably heard, she probably saw the silhouette coming at her and thought, like, this is it. Jersey Devil's going to get me. The sharks didn't, but the Jersey Devil is.
It was really pretty funny. Anyway.
So another one of the theories I think we can just throw right out. You know, I don't think New Jersey is a lair for prehistoric creatures that hold over.
No, but I thought there were subterranean oceanic caverns where these pterodactyls
well, they're,
came
they're,
out.
Yeah, they're out in Pemberton and stuff.
Oh, that's
different places.
That's
out that way.
Yeah, definitely. I thought, you know, like
well, the,
Jurassic
the,
Park.
The black hole.
The blue hole.
The
blue hole and the vortex that's out there. In the center,
oh, yeah,
the
absolutely.
Area. That's where they come out.
One of the other theories, actually, Jack E. Boucher, author of Absogami Yesteryear, which actually is a very good source. That book is out of print, but it's if you can find it in the rare books or in the old bookstore, it's
on eBay.
And eBay, too. Has a lot of good folklore of New Jersey in it. But he believed it was a deformed child that she kept locked away, and it would get out and raid the local people's eggs and food and kill livestock and stuff just for, to survive, bring it back to the house and eat it. And
so did the deformed child have a pet crane?
Yeah.
And they went on these raids together?
Apparently the pet child...
Could get to Camden and Morristown.
Absolutely.
Bordentown within an hour.
And also could live for at least 300
years.
Yes. So that theory, again, like, well, when this was written, when he wrote this book, the child would have been 174 years old.
Okay.
As of for the 1909...
Still look like a child.
And have learned how to fly.
Well, maybe we should only
there would be good. Great, there was some good genetics. Look that good at that age.
Yeah, really.
Didn't even X-Files. X-Files
yes.
did. But X-Files went with the wild child living in the the woods. That was, other than the movies, that was the one episode of the X-Files I watched. It was like season one or two.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as I saw that, I was turned off for the whole. Because if that's their twist on the Jersey Devil, I wasn't interested in the rest of the show at all.
So maybe
I guess I missed out. I don't know.
Okay.
Only some of the, I mean, some of these are obviously hoaxes. That's another theory. But we ran down just the caliber of just a few of the witnesses. These people, again, had more to lose than to gain.
Well, yeah, there's going to be hoaxes because people want their 15 minutes. There's hoaxes for Bigfoot. There's hoaxes for all, you know, the Loch Ness Monster. There's hoaxes for all that stuff. So there's going to be hoaxes, but that doesn't mean that it's not real.
I have to clear my mind here. I was just thinking, I'm just gonna bad now. I can think of a real good hoax. I watch it on TV all the time. But anyway, let's go back to this.
Stay focused.
This is the one. Now again, here we go. You're gonna have people going, oh, Dave sees demons behind every door. I'm gonna get thrown in with all the people they say that do that. But like, hear me out when you. If you map out the large groupings of sightings, I'm not talking about the individual sightings, but when there starts to be clusters of sightings, and you look over the years when there seem to be above average amount of sightings, we are talking pre-Revolutionary War, pre-Civil War, pre-World War I, pre-World War II, pre-Vietnam. We are talking about world events of a big, like, climactic nature. One of the theories, and I didn't come up with this one, so don't blame it on me. I'm not finding the demon behind every door. But this one of the theories was someone else had mapped out this pattern and said that it seems like it's almost a harbinger of doom to come, letting us know that it's some sort of maybe nature,
like,
if you want to call it elemental Native American Thunderbird.
Well, isn't that,
actually,
isn't
it's been
that,
tied in with
right.
the Thunderbird.
Isn't that what the gentleman we talked to about the Mothman? He tied in the Thunderbird and the Jersey Devil and the Mothman all at the same time.
Exactly.
And they all seem to come about in those.
Mothman's a very good example of that.
Yeah, in those areas, in those time frames.
Because Mothman was even, Indrid Cold was predicting
right.
specific dates.
Right.
And he was supposed to be associated or be the voice at that time of Mothman.
Right.
So, Jersey Devil, I think, may fall into that. Now, whatever you want to call it, whatever kind of spirit you want to call it, the Banshee. You know, when the Banshee screams, someone's going to die.
Right.
I mean, we go back, you know, across cultures. Mm-hmm. But Native Americans, specifically, I think, with the Thunderbird. These are things that seem to tie in with the Jersey Devil, and there is a distinct pattern. Yeah. I mean, World War One. When you go, if those of us were ghost hunters, we're paranormal investigators. We're going to go to a cemetery tonight, a very old historic cemetery. Mm-hmm. We're going to see probably a wide variety of the military markers. The way I always teach my trainees, teach them a lot about the symbolism and not only to respect it, but to when you walk around a cemetery, how you can understand and kind of give reverence to some of the people that died there, especially the veterans. But how you can tell which war they were from. Because each placard is different. Some of them say which war, some of them don't. One says World War. That's because they didn't anticipate World War II.
No, yeah. Right. They didn't call it World War I, they called it the Great War.
The Great War.
Because there wasn't supposed to be another one
On the placards for the cemetery markers, for the flags, it just says World War. It doesn't say World War I, this is World War. So you know that was World War I. So, 1909. Well, the events are in motion for probably one of the greatest climactic or catastrophic events probably since the dinosaurs' extinction.
Well, that's not really far-fetched because if you look at catastrophic earthquakes, people have reported in the days and hours before the earthquake would actually strike that their animals began behaving differently. And there are scientific studies going on now, research to indicate that whether it's they can sense the vibrations or the very minor tectonic shifts or the changes in energy or the electrical energy, mm-hmm. Whatever it is, that animals do display different behaviors prior to, these changes in the earth. So who's to say that there isn't, on a spiritual level, a creature that can manifest when the world is going to be at war and at conflict.
Now, given that, let's just say that's going against the theory, there's more to back it up. I left out the Spanish-American War. There was a spike before the Spanish-American War. Also, right before the start, before we declared war for World War II, before the start of the World War II, before the Blitzkrieg, when the Nazis went into Poland and everything. Mount Holly, heard of that town, Ghost Town USA, coming to sci-fi soon, hopefully, keep your fingers crossed. Citizens were awakened by the noises of hooves on their rooftops right before the Blitzkrieg. The devil was also seen all over New Jersey on a date some of you might recognize. The night some of you might recognize.
Yes, yes, it was.
December 7th, 1941. When the planes were in the air on their way to Pearl Harbor, or at least the ships were on their way to Pearl Harbor, the planes might not have been in the air yet, there were sightings in Mount Holly right before Pearl Harbor was bombed, and also right before the Vietnam War, before we declared, before we sent the first troops in, which is actually that Mel Gibson movie, We Were Soldiers, which was our first battle of Vietnam. Right before that, there was a huge cluster of sightings, too.
Didn't you just say there were sightings up to 2006 or in that time frame?
Right.
Where are we?
Right,
Iraq?
Yeah. Right. Iraq. Probably go back and look. I bet you around 2001, which would have 9/11 or the start of war in Afghanistan. I bet you there was a cluster too. Mm-hmm. That's something going on their website. Probably looking for. I bet you that archive is bigger than the others, because of people seeing it then.
Be interesting to check out.
Ben, they mentioned this in passing, or I mentioned it in passing, only because there actually was a witchcraft trial in Mount Holly in 1730, kind of around the origins of the Jersey Devil. So being possibly something that was conjured up doesn't sound too far-fetched. But I would go more along the lines of some spiritual creature, whether it's nature, elemental, something along like Mothman, mm-hmm. Thunderbird, Banshee, something along those lines.
Something that seems to walk the fence. It's not it's not totally evil, but it's not totally good either. It's there to warn us or let us know that it's coming or mm-hmm. something's coming. but not really to be on the good side and help us out.
Right. I mean, you would think that if this was some sort of demonic spirit that was conjured, you know, hundreds of years ago, that there would be attacks on humans.
Right.
And causing destructive, a lot of destructive behavior aimed at people. And we don't see that.
No. Well, that's what I said. I think it really walks that line. It's there because of the energy, because of that negative energy, but
definitely.
It doesn't cross the line
exactly
of taking that energy out on anything.
Right, and it doesn't choose to interact with people. It's not, you know, walking into people's houses and announcing its presence.
Right.
There are just very brief sightings, that unfortunately cause a lot of fear.
I'm sorry, you guys keep talking. I'm looking for something.
We don't know where you were going.
Well, we're still, out of all the theories, a supernatural being, regardless of where it comes, we can throw the demon thing out because it was something that's warning us of an upcoming pending doom. That kind of doesn't kind of fit in
well,
with the
demon. Well, that's what I'm saying.
Thing.
I don't think that's...
It could be something that's just, know...
Just like the Thunderbird, when they would say they see the Thunderbird, something was going to happen.
Right.
Just like Mothman, when they saw the Mothman, that's... Right before the bridge collapsed, right before,
many
happened.
Cultures have their own, basically like a personal harbinger of impending death.
Mm-hmm.
So you might say, oh, if you see a crow, if you see certain animals,
right.
That's how you know that you are about to personally experience a loss or something catastrophic is going to happen in your own life.
Mm-hmm.
So again, who's to say that there isn't something on a broader, spiritual level for mankind in general?
Mm-hmm. For those open-minded enough to see it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, that would also, when you go to the problems we have at the Sandhill Crane of being bulletproof, being
cannonball-proof.
Cannonball. And it's supernatural, obviously, entity doesn't have those issues.
Right.
So to me, as far-fetched, I'm using here, again, I like how it sounds, and people have to go look it up, so I'm not going to explain it to you, but Occam's Razor. Basically,
yes.
When you get to, it's basically saying whatever the regardless of how less plausible an answer may be, when you've taken everything else out of and reduced it, saying this isn't plausible, no matter how implausible what's left is, that should be the most likely conclusion.
Right.
When we apply that to the theories of deformed child, sandhill crane, pterodactyl, or supernatural being. Supernatural being fits all the criteria,
yeah. And
actually evidence supports it by being the harbinger of big cataclysmic world events, and none of the others, all the others, it's easy literally to shoot holes in
the
theories.
It really is. I mean, pterodactyl, you have to have, a viable population like you were talking about.
Exactly.
If there's a viable population, especially in this area,
if we have pterodactyls in New Jersey,
yeah,
we would have noticed them by now. Because they will be flying all over the city.
Yeah, we're not talking, the big fast Midwest where the
exactly
mountain ranges.
We're not
stuff.
Talking
we
about
that,
that
kind
north,
of space.
Northwest,
no.
Where you have mountains where an entire city could disappear into the
right.
woods.
I mean, I've driven down these back roads going home and stuff, and yes, I could imagine something flying across them. That'd be cool. I'd actually enjoy it, but anyway.
I would let him say,
I keep a camera in my car all the time just for that. But, it's not that vast or that wide open for something to be that.
Well, what's really exciting
sporadic.
Is the fact now everybody has a cell phone and everybody has a camera in their cell phone and almost everybody has video in their cell phone.
That's the same.
So,
that's the same argument with Bigfoot. Why
and Loch Ness
and Loch Ness
everybody else.
And everything like that.
I mean, we know with ghosts. We have video equipment, out the wazoo and cameras and everything. But why don't we come home every time with pictures of apparitions of ghosts and we come home with EVPs.
No.
With why don't they say their name and all that? So I mean, it's the evidence part. Maybe something because it's a supernatural being. Prevents
no,
that
no,
from
not,
happening.
Not, not so much that you could go out on a, say, Jersey Devil hunt and come back with the evidence, because I don't think it's going to appear because you wanted to.
No.
But if it
just
does appear,
stand in front of the camera.
Exactly.
Right.
If it does appear, at least you have a shot of I'm trying to get a picture of it.
Now, we're winding down. We got like about a minute left, and I didn't bring the file that Carrie Ann sent me from Scared to do the promo for Ghost Stock. So they're going to get a personalized commercial here for the Ghost Stock event. Ghost Stock featuring Scared, hosted by Patrick Burns on True TV's Haunted Evidence and Travel Town's Paranormal Challenge. I'm sorry, I'm scrolling down. So Marley, I have to look down for. And Marley Gibson, paranormal young adult author, and from A&E's biographies, My Ghost Story. It's going to be held June 1st and 2nd in Brownsville, PA. There are still tickets available. You can get them at ghoststock.com. If you want to meet people like Aaron Sagers, if you want to meet people like Brian Kano from Haunted Collector and Scared, or the whole Scared crew, if you want to meet Chris Mancuso from Scared, I don't know who else, probably Brooke will be there from Scared. There's probably a lot of people from Scared are going to be there. Three different locations to investigate, including it's $99 per person for the whole weekend, including one dinner, lectures, and three investigation locations. Plus the proceeds, all the fundraising and auction efforts will go to Unity, A Journey of Hope, which is unityjourneyofhope.org. So this is going to help a charity. You don't see a lot of paranormal people doing that a lot, where you're going to have a fundraiser that's raising money of this scale. This is a convention or expo type deal that's going to be raising money for this. And they're going to be doing these all over. We're trying to work on one for getting them to come into Mount Holly, the Ghost Town USA place.
Great.
But there's some other places they're going to be doing stuff, and they do other events. People from Unknown Origins Radio, Carrie Ann Versace, Lauren DePinto, Mark Johnson, Aaron Sagers, I mentioned already, from Travel Channels, Ghost Adventures, and Paranormal Challenge. Maddie and Boo, the Paranormal Kittens, they'll be there. And our friend Eric Altman from the Pennsylvania Bigfoot Society will also be there. So you got, this is a great group of people. They are all great. They're all great to listen to. You're going to get to spend a weekend with them. You're going to get to investigate with them for $99. And they throw a dinner in there and everything.
That's,
I mean,
unbelievable.
Three investigations.
That
and dinner.
Is incredible. That is a bargain.
Yeah.
I've never heard anything like that before. And it's going for charity. So, I mean, this is something you guys don't want to miss. It's coming up soon. So, you know, clear your calendar, clear your schedules, call in sick, whatever you got to do. Go to ghoststock.com.
I need a personal date.
We got to go make our car rental right now. We're going to be closing the store for that weekend. Now we'll just make the Eric work and Jeff's. Make it where he can cover us while we're not
Jade,
here.
Jade will cover us.
Maybe we'll head out there too. It's a little bit of a ride, but it's dead worth it for that price. You're not going to find any other kind of, with this caliber of people, and for these kind of investigations, you're not going to find anything like it out there. And they're going to. This is something that they hope to continue on and going to area and help raise money for other local charities too.
That's great. That is
so
awesome.
It's paranormal community and big names in the paranormal community mm-hmm. at work for the good. So with that. Hopefully that was better than, I didn't actually do your clip, but hopefully that was a little bit better. So it was more personal anyway. We'll see you guys next week. We have the Romanax coming up with Lisa and Stan. We have them on two different dates.
Right.
And I know you got some people who tuned in for Billy Bean this week. Sorry, he had there was a deliverance he was called to. He had to fly out immediately to go help with that, which we understand.
Yes,
he's already rebooked again, I think, for June 8th. So, which actually gave me time to read through his book again and watch the episode again and get even more questions for him. So he's in trouble now because we're going to be more prepared.
It definitely is. We'll pester him all night.
Yes. So until then, we'll see you next week.
See you later.
Bye.
Take care.